designed to do is to take us to the presence of the Lord. Amen? And why? Well, we all come in here from different areas in the morning. You come in, some of us run late, we had to milk cows, we had to do this, that, and the other. Okay? We come into fellowship. Amen? Feed chicken for some people. Yeah. And so it takes a little while to get settled in, right? It's just that way. Well, you see, your praise and worship team, they're preparing for this during the week. They're praying, they're fasting, and they're, God leads them on what songs, you know. And so they're already focused. So when they step up and they start praising the Lord, His presence already here, then as we start following them and we start getting into the Spirit, we're awesome, and praising Him. The physician goes right across the sanctuary and starts ministering to you. And some days you come in, man, you're on top of the world. Amen? It's awesome. Hey, just first of the month, we got our social security checks, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, we got gas in the car. Where nobody's. And the other time you come in, and man, you've got a heavy burden on you. And it's just like, it's really hard to worship. You know, you want to, but man, as you're in His presence, next thing you know, your heart's getting lifted up. You're realizing who you are in Christ Jesus, and this too shall pass. And it is, and this burden, this thing that we was carrying, is lifted. The Lord says, hey, I got this. I got this. See, He just uses us to intercede with. Amen? And I spoke earlier about, you want to turn the lights on for me, hon? Talked earlier about fear. And fear is terrible, and we always try to keep you up to date with what we know. There's some medical people in here who might even know more than I do. I mean, I know you know more than I do, but on the subject. But on this thing that's shaking the nation now called monkeypox. Okay, I just want to let you know, and again, we have Christian doctors and stuff we follow, and we really have a lot of input. One thing that they're not telling, at least we never heard till yesterday, my wife knew, but I didn't know it. This disease is something that's been transmitted the way syphilis would, venereal disease, okay? And right now in America, the only one who has it is within the homosexual, bisexual family. Okay, that's what they're not bringing out. I mean, they want to, and someone knows more than I do, speak up, please. But that's the only ones that, right now, the confirmed cases, is that. And there's four people in the whole world that has passed away from monkeypox. And if one does contract it, it's about 3 weeks. From the time you receive it till it goes, you get rash, you get this, and you get that, okay? But, I mean, if you're active in a way that the Lord says not to, and you encounter someone who's on the other side, then yes, you have something. You have more to worry about than monkeypox. It's called a place called hell. Okay, but I'm just saying that that's where this at. But if you notice how much fear they're trying to bring to people, you got to get vaccinated for this, get vaccinated for that, and again, not, seek your doctors. I'm just telling you the truth as we know it. And it's the truth that the Lord says will set people free. So I just want to bring that to you. Don't be nervous unless you're in that category. And then we need to pray and let God deliver you from that. Amen. So, amen. I just want to share that. But, hey, Jim, would you grab these Kleenexes for me? Give them to Corey, please. Now, Jim. Now, just doing a little demonstration there. Going back to you can get back to me now. That's okay. That's all we got. Don't laugh. I pulled these out of the trash last week. But we're going to speak briefly this morning about intercession. And what God was sharing with me last night, you know, His love for us is forever, okay? You cannot do anything that causes God not to love you. But the blessings are located within the obedience of His Word, okay? His blessings is located within the obedience of His Word. And just a moment ago, number one, our brother was down at the altar early today. Awesome. God is working with you. And Jim saw that. So when I said, hey, Jim, take the Kleenexes down to Corey, come and got him. Okay, he don't need him now, but his compassion was that. And in doing so, there was a blessing under the Kleenex box for Brother Jim for being obedient. Didn't hesitate. If he's the old pastor, you know, okay, no problem. He didn't do it for the blessing. He did it out of compassion. Amen? And so, we look at interceding for one another, not for the blessing that God give us, but out of compassion for the individual we're praying for. If you remember, last week I had the floating head going on. I call it the floating head. It's from a Johnny Carson show, I guess. And I showed you that Jesus is the head of the church, but he has no body. And the master cannot do anything on this earth unless he does it through us. Why? Because dominion had been given to flesh and blood. That's how important that you are. Understand that as a Christian. That's how important that you are. He's the head. He tells us what he wants to be done. But we have to do it. You know, if I was the head back here, again, if I was God back here, and I knew my brother, boy, he needed a Kleenex, I have no way of getting it to him. Because I don't have a body. So I lay upon Jim to pick up the Kleenex and give her brother Corey. Now he has the right to refuse it. I'm not going to do that. Maybe you don't like red shirts. I ain't going around Corey. You got a red shirt on, you know. Or he's young, or he's younger than I am. He ought to be able to reach up there and get it, you know. All these things could have went through her head and stopped him. But he didn't. He was able to do what God would want us to do, show compassion. But at the same time, Jim's got a couple gallons of gas to get home with. Amen? Amen. It's either that or somebody take him home with you. So, but I want to just turn briefly this morning in the book of Job. The book of Job. A lot of people will be familiar to the book of Job. I don't know if you ever read all of it or not. It's 42 chapters. So I'll try to read all the chapters quickly again this morning. But he wanted to show us something in this, and it's just amazing that our love for the Lord should always be on the point of who he is and what he is. Amen? And look at Job here. Now I'm going to be skipping around, so you just mark down Job on your notes, and I'll be jumping back and forth. But I was going to read start chapter 1, where I'm going to start at, and then we'll be jumping from there. But so there was a man in the land of Oz, that's Wizard of Oz. Yeah, okay. Oz, thank you. It's great to be married to a school teacher, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes. She corrects me a lot of times too. But his name was Job. And that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. Wow. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the east. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house. Today we would call it partied. They'd party a lot in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and concentrate them, raising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the numbers of them all. For Job said, "Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did this continually. His children were running wild, we would say, to a degree. He was not sure what was going on. But he had compassion for them. He loved them. And he would intercede on their behalf of God by doing burnt offerings and stuff. Of course, we don't do that today. But that's his heart. Now, just think, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, all that livestock and stuff he had. Rich. He'd be the Eastern version of a Bill Gates or something of that nature, okay? And look at, he never lost compassion. Think of that. He never lost compassion. He always was willing to intercede for them. It says in verse 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them." So you get the fallen angels there coming to the Lord. "The Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From roaming about on the earth and walking around it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil.' Then Satan answered the Lord, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put your hand on him.' So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord." And what Satan's accusing of Job of doing, hey, he only loves you because of what you've given him, because you're rich. And you put a hedge of protection on. So Satan noticed there's a hedge of protection around Job where he could not touch him. Isn't that amazing? Now he's saying that this man, Job, loved God, had nothing to do with evil. He's always in the presence of God, always hang out with God, what God said he was doing. And so that allowed a hedge of protection that God put around him. Okay, cool. Satan, you can't bother him. So when we get into today, we have to watch ourselves, because when we step into evil, evil is what we call sin. Okay, it can be a moral sin. It can be a written out sin. But when we step in that, what happens, put yourself, anybody remember Get Smart? Okay, remember, and invisible shield? Remember, am I the only one remember that? Okay, the shield would come up, and he couldn't get through it. Oh, he'd be beaten on it, okay? Couldn't see it there, but he couldn't get through it. Well, see, that's what happened here, okay? God put this shield around Job that Satan couldn't touch him. But if he wasn't turning away from evil or sin, that little shield would come down. Think of that. I mean, how many times did Get Smart and Agent 99 thought that shield was up? You know what I'm saying? He'd get kind of frisky and mouthy, you know, hey, come on. And the guy would reach across and grab him and pick him up like this, you know. So we can walk with this thought process that, man, Satan can't touch me. There's a shield put up around me because who I am. But we can allow that shield to come down because we allow sin to occupy our life. I'm not saying that you're walking, that they're not born again. Understand this? I'm saying that you need to love the Lord, but Satan's always waiting for an opportunity to get involved in your life. He will, and he'll come up. And I'm telling you what the world is today, there's a lot of opportunities for us to get down and out and compromise and just give in. You know, I mean, if this week you just want to throw the towel and say, I give up. You know? If you're doing that, there's nothing wrong with you. Okay? You haven't given up. Thank you, Lord, for that. But the days that we are in, we'll have more and more of that pressure because Satan isn't letting up because he knows his time is very, very short. But what you're doing right now is you come together and you worship together and you're strengthened together and you hear the Word of God, man, it gives you the strength for one more day. And that's all we need is one more day, right? I don't need a week. I just need one more day. That's what God gives us. That's what God gives us. But Satan's always waiting. How can he get to you? You know? And it's happened lots of time over the years, but a lot of folks may come in and they have nothing. They're just down and out. I mean, they are rock bottom. I've had them come in with nothing. Nowhere to live, nothing. They come in and, man, they see what the Lord has here. And God is awesome. And that person that comes through the door, God loves them. Amen. He loves me. Amen. And, man, God will reach down. Either they give their life to Christ or as we intercede. And, man, job, place to live, clothing, car. Wow, awesome. And 3 months are gone. 3 months they have left. Okay. Their need was met. Their physical need was met. And well, thank you, Lord, but they're on down the road. Now, one thing that's good about this, either way, however they go with that, they can't deny how great God was with them, right? Now, it might not take a hold that time. But when it happens again, it'll happen again. If God doesn't build the house, the foundation ain't the Word of God, it's going to crumble, okay? But the next time when it crumbles, it could be here, it could be 10 states away, they're going to remember what God had done. You know? Amen? Isn't that awesome? So what they have to do then is follow their pride and go back to God. Pride is a terrible thing in a lot of areas, right? Yeah, I mean, I take pride in my cooking, but we got to watch pride. Even today, folks, we gather here in the house of the Lord together and we worship Him. Many of you are carrying burdens right now and you're fighting them by yourself. And that is wrong. Your brothers and sisters are willing to intercede with you, to pray, and help lift those burdens to the Word of God. So don't carry these burdens around by yourself. The Lord says one person can cause 1,000 demons to flee, 2 10,000. I always caution, make sure you want prayer, we have a prayer, the worship team will pray with you after the service, or a brother and sister that's rooted in the Word. If you're around people and you hear them talking to other people, you don't want that person to pray with you, okay? Because I pray with you today, but you'd be out there on the front headline of the paper tomorrow, you know? So always listen, because, you know, if you're in a circle and people are talking about other people, well, you're going to be the next subject and walk out, you know? So, well, Vicki always says, hey, if they're talking about me, they're leaving everybody else alone, right, sister? Amen, amen. But here we are. Satan is saying, listen, Job only loves you because of what you've given him. So, God's the good, do we want? But you cannot touch him. Verse 13 says, now on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabeans attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. I know he's a messenger there, I think. Okay, the rest of them got tortured, put to death, captured. I'm the only one made it here to tell you about it. Otherwise, I got chicken and ran. You know, I don't see where he's standing up, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just what comes to my mind. But while he was speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the serpents and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. You know? Maybe that's God's way of letting him know what's happening. You know, that sometimes you're a messenger of good news and sometimes you'll be a messenger of bad news, right? But God can use us both ways. And while he was still speaking, another one also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another also came. I don't think I'd answer my door by now. You know what I'm saying? No. Shut off the lights. We are not home today. But while he was still speaking, another one came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Okay, so we're going to go from there. I'm going to jump into chapter 42 in a second. But I'm going to clarify a couple of things, because it's a popular saying, and people quote it all the time. The Lord's gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But he says, Job is saying, the Lord gave and he's taken them away. And right there is a lie. Not a meaningful lie, but a thought that came away from depression. Now, who gave him his children? Who took them away? Satan. Amen? Satan took them away. Now, how many times God gets blamed for everything that Satan does? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and we think, well, you know, God's in control. Well, he's in control of certain areas, okay? He's only in control of your life if you surrender your life to him, okay? People say, well, hang in there. God's in complete control. He is not in complete control. Understand that. He's not in control of the United States of America. We are in charge of it. Amen? He is. He wants to be, but he's not. You know, sometimes things go wrong, we don't quite understand things. Or, well, hey, we will say it, God's in control. A tree will fall in your house, act of God. What kind of God is that if the tree is on top of my house? You know? I mean, the wind's out there, right? I'm not saying God couldn't drop a tree on you. But he doesn't do that. You're a child. Why would he want to do that to you? I think the fearful thing to be is be an enemy of God and come against his children, because God will fight for you. Amen? His angels have been assigned around you. They are around you to intercede for you and protect you. So I would not ever want to be back where I was at one time, and every one of you was at one time before you come to Christ. You are an enemy of God. He still loved you. But if God, hey, this is my way, or it's a highway. Otherwise, there's no compromise in my word, God says. No compromise. That's probably one word right there that we all should learn more and more, and then get the compromise out of our life. Because very evident, as we look around the world, especially the United States, there's been so much compromise in the churches, and in the homes of churches. The brother Paul, or John, or Peter, would not even recognize the gathering of people. Wow. Yeah. And that's one thing nice about as we gather here today. I don't know what you did yesterday, tomorrow, or last night. But God gives us a new day. He gives us word in our ears, guys. And we have to decide what we're going to do with it. Okay? Now, some of us may have been compromised because of fear. We've been compromising because of lack. You know, we don't have this, we don't have that, so I know I shouldn't do this, but man, I need this. Does not your Father in heaven tell you to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll provide for you? Some of us here today, he provided gas to get to church. Some of us, he provided shoes. Huh, Daryl? Pretty nice looking shoes you got there too, you know? He meets our needs, you know? Now, he could give me shoes that we wouldn't start to about 5 o'clock because I wouldn't get here in time, you know what I'm saying? But it meets our needs where we're at. So we have to, as Ryan brought, I was going to say Brother Ryan, but he's my son, but as Ryan was bringing forth from the Word of God today, cast down fear, raise up and receive, and say, this is it. You know, draw that line. So I'm not compromising anymore. I don't care what happens tomorrow. God is who I want. I'm a child of God. I'm going to trust in you, Lord. I'm going to trust in you. And here's Job. All this stuff happened to Job. He didn't quite understand, because when he said, the Lord's given us, the Lord's taken it away. But he said, through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Man, isn't that amazing? I mean, it just... how many times that we may have just want to give up, or we let our relationship with the Lord water down because, I had this job, $80,000 a year, and man, I tithe off of it, I give offerings, and boom, next thing I know, they get rid of me. Yeah, it happened to my son, Ryan, or Vincent. You're Ryan, right? Son Vincent in Virginia worked for a newspaper advertising company. Man of God, I tell you, never compromised anything. He would share stuff. Great job down there. And they called him in his office one time, his boss lady did. Sorry, Maggie. Maggie's trying to follow me around a walk, and he goes back and forth. So someday I'll have a podium up high, and I'll say, hey, listen. But they called him in, and they ended up firing him. He calls on the phone. We prayed. Okay, God's got this. Within 30 days, he had a better job. He had a place that he could actually exercise his belief with the insurance company he went to. He was able to share to a degree with people around him. And God had established and raised him up to the point where, boom, now he went to another company. And it goes on. But see, he wouldn't compromise. How scary would it be, you know? Okay, I'll do that if you want me to. You know, I got a wife, I got kids. I shouldn't be doing this, but, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. No. If it's sin, it's sin, whether you're getting paid to do it or not. Amen? Amen? And then within a year, that big newspaper, gone. So, yeah, I mean, now, I didn't want nothing harm done to those folks, but I'm just saying, God saw ahead of time. Okay? And so, he said, okay, I need to get you out of here. I've seen the writing on the wall. And I don't understand, God. But I'm not going to compromise. And boom, you know. And folks, it can get scary at times, following the Lord, and you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. That's why it calls faith. Now, I'm trusting you. Now, that's why we always want to make sure that we are walking with Him. Amen. And not compromise. Again, He doesn't hate us. He always loves us, but we block His blessings. Like your brother Jim, you know, if he said, man, nah, I'm going to do it. Well, then someone else came up here and got blessed. Our brother Corey would still get blessed with it. See? And as I say, if he can trust me, a flesh and blood, born again sinner, and when I called you up here, Jim, you knew, well, you never know about me, I guess, but you trust me that something was going to be good. You knew something that the Lord wanted to do, and you just did it. You know, because I've used you a lot over the years, and sometimes you get arrested, and sometimes all kind of stuff. But you came up anyway. And if you can trust me to do that, how much more can you trust God when you say, hey, listen, this is what I want you to do, or this is what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to compromise. Trust in me. Wow. You know? And he works that way. They say that the Lord works in mysterious ways, but it's really not mysterious when you get to know Him, you get to trust Him. Okay, God, you give me this job? Boom. You know, I've testified before, some of my best accomplishments in life is when the world was coming against me, and my life was falling apart inside of me. And God used that in a mighty way. I learned that many, many times. It can be scary, but trust in the Lord. And that's where Job is. Man, he never sinned. All this stuff. See, his love for God wasn't in his goats. It wasn't in his sheep. It wasn't even in his children. Oh, he loved his children. But his love for God was his love for God. I mean, man, that's awesome. But we're going to catch up with Job again. And I'm in the last chapter of Job. 42 verse 7. Okay? Now, I'm going to chop up these words because I'm not the school teacher. It came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job. He had a conversation with Job. And remember, his friends would come and sit down and talk to him. And friends like Job had, you really don't need, you know what I'm saying? It'd give you reasons to drink. But he never did that. He never sinned, the Bible says. And so it came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job. And the Lord said, the Ephrathite, the Temanite, which these are his friends, my wrath is kindled against you. And against your two friends, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Ooh. He said, okay, you've been running your mouth about me. This is God, okay? He said, my wrath had come upon you. You haven't spoken about me as Job has. Now, this is Job going through all this stuff. And he realized God is God, and he goes back and forth. But his friends, I mean, wow. So his wrath is coming upon Job's three friends. Now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves, and my servant Job will pray for you. For I will accept him, so that I may not do with you accordingly to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. You say, now listen, you're going to go to Job, this guy who lost everything, and he's going to pray for you. Otherwise, my wrath is coming down on you. So I'm not going to listen to your prayers because where your heart is. But Job, wow. Look how much power Job had at that moment over these three people, over his friends. He will pray for you. Couldn't you imagine his three friends showing up with the offering that God said? Say, okay, hey, Job, God says you're going to pray for me and his wrath will be removed from me. Pray for you? For all the encouragement you guys gave me? I have nothing and I'm supposed to pray for you? You're right. I got enough of my own burdens today. I got enough of my own burdens. Just get out of here. Let me just sit here and soak a little while and have a more of a pity party. You know, he could have done that. But God knew Job's heart. Isn't that awesome? So these three guys went and did as the Lord had told them, and the Lord accepted Job. So when Job prayed, he interceded. Now, I'll guarantee you it wasn't a half-hearted prayer, like, oh, God bless you. Bye. I can't pray. That prayer had to have been out of compassion. Through their naiveness, through not knowing what was going on, they found themselves under the wrath of God. And Job wasn't rejoicing. Yeah, burn him, Lord. Drop him brimstone on him. Yeah, destroy him. He said, no, God. Your heart is that you want none to perish. Am I right? So Job interceded and prayed. And in verse 10 it says, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all who had known him before came to him. And they ate bread with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversities that the Lord had brought on him. And each one gave him one piece of money and each a ring of gold. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginnings. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He had 7 sons and 3 more daughters. And he named them Jeremiah and... Yeah, this is how he named them, okay? In all the land, no women were found so fair as Job's daughters, and their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his grandsons in 4 generations. And Job died an old man, full of his days. What happened? The love that he had and the compassion that he had. He didn't pray for it. God just said, listen, I want you to pray for your friends, and I'm going to double everything that you lost. Everything that the enemy stole from you. We sing a song about that. Take back, but then I won't sing it. But there was no reference from God to Job, I'm going to restore this, I'm going to give this, I'm going to give that. Job just knew that God is God. And when he said, okay, Job, I need you to pray for these. See, Jesus wasn't coming down to pray for him. Jesus wasn't born yet. He was still here in heaven, okay? But it goes down to this, is that, again, flesh and blood. If you're here this morning, you got flesh, you got blood, you got bones. You got the Spirit of God in you. He uses us. He doesn't want our prayer life to be influenced by monetary gain. Well, if I could pray for this guy. I mean, right now, if a rich man walking down the street, let's say he's got a cane. It's a golden cane, okay? Maybe a pearl on top of it. Okay? Maybe a diamond. Okay? He's walking down the street right now. Oh, he falls down. And we saw, it could be a mad dash out there to get help this guy up. Because, man, he got that cane. Well, he's rich. He's going to give me some money. You know what I'm saying? Wow. But then we turn around the opposite, and we have Fred Crusoe walking out there. He's got a stick for his cane, okay? His pants are torn, you know. Oh, he trips and falls down. Oh. We'd all look the other way. Well, we're going to game of picking Fred up, you know? See? All right. I'd pick up Fred, you know. I know. But see, our motivation has to be out of compassion. That's what Job was. And so, he has called us to intercede and pray, to pray for this nation, pray for those in authority. Okay? You can pray for somebody in authority, and your life might get worse. So be it. God told us to do that. He didn't say, would you? He's saying, pray for those in authority over you. And God's motivated thing is that his desire is that no one would perish. This world would be done with sooner or later. Everything that man is striving to get and have, and everything that I want to stick in my garage, my basement, all this stuff, be gone someday. So we don't need to fight too much to keep it. I'm not saying leave your doors unlocked, but I'm saying our number one priority is the kingdom of God and serving Him by serving other people. He motivates us. Amen? We do that. And look what happened to Job. And God is a respecter of persons. Who He's done for one to do for the other, but goes back to the motivation of our hearts. He likes a cheerful giver. Now, money, yes, giver, but giving of love, giving of compassion. That compassion will motivate us. It's like we get to heaven, and Carol was teaching last week, week before last. Everything we've done, be judged by the Lord, it'll be tried by fire. And everything we have done for the Lord will sustain for a gift. But what we've done and their wrong motives is burn up. And so we got to check our hearts, make sure that. You know, the scripture says also, I'll shut up to this, but if a rich man and a poor man walked through that door right now and somebody got up and offered the rich man his chair and told the poor man to sit back there somewhere, people say, oh man, it's awful nice of him. Man, that rich guy came in and Corey, the youngest guy in our church, he stood up and he gave the guy a seat. Did Corey do it because of honoring somebody? Or did he do it because he figured, that guy's in a factory, you know? He goes back there where the poor guy came in and kicked him out. He said, I'm going to sit here. Okay. Goes back to the conditions of your hearts. Amen? So that's what the Lord's going to share today, is the days that we are in. It's more trying not to be nice. It's more trying not to show compassion. But that should dig us in. That's how much more the world needs the compassion that Christ has in us. That's how much more He needs our prayers to intercede, how it changes. And Job, in his midst of all his losses, and he could be woeing himself, woe is me, but he didn't. He loved God, and he did what God wanted him to do. Now, obedience to Him, God's blessings are in the obedience of His Word. Amen? Amen. Yes, Ryan, you use the microphone there? Everybody, people hear you?
When Job said, Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, he said that was wrong, which is true. And God wasn't offended by that.
Right.
You know, obviously, he wasn't saying that in a way that he was upset with God. Well, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Now I'm upset. His heart was still true. Even though what he said was wrong, he wasn't thinking ill of God, and he didn't count it towards sin against him. And God wasn't offended by what he said, even though what he said wasn't true.
Amen, because Job didn't understand yet.
Right.
Have you ever done stuff? I mean, did you understand that it was wrong? And the Word of God come to you? He's enlightened because you seek His Word out, you know. You know, I can see Job saying, yeah, the Lord give us, the Lord take it away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I can see God saying, He'll understand one of these days. I'm not offended. I got mad at God several times in my life, didn't understand things, blame them for everything you can think of. And as you come to know Him, it wasn't His fault, you know. His heart break just as bad as mine did. We have control over it. So, whatever piece of world that you're in charge of, whether you got a big house, small house, you got acres, you're working somewhere, just honor the Lord where you're at. Honor Him where you're at there, and let God be God. Is that right? Amen. Praise God. Well, Father, we do thank you for your word. And I thank you for the gathering of the saints today, Lord. As your word is here to encourage us, Father, prepare us for another week of awesomeness that you put us into this world. But God, we do want to intercede this morning for our nation. We pray for those in authority over us. We pray for Mr. Biden coming through this COVID. We pray for wisdom for the doctors around Mr. Biden on any medical conditions that he has that need corrected. And we pray for those, God, who raise up against you today. We're praying for their eyes to be open. We're praying for their heart to be melted from the heart of stone that they have, Father. But God, we do pray that the evilness and those who are doing evil in this world and the United States be removed from power, from afflicting us and our children, our children's children. We pray for those today, Father, who are standing up on your word, those who are stepping into the political arena, those who are saying, listen, send me, Lord, send me. And God, maybe God, we pray that this fall that we will send those who are standing up, send them into areas of authority to change laws, to bring back morality in our nation and our laws, Father God. We just pray for the hearts of each one to be changed. But for us, for each one of us, God, search us, search our ways, search our reason for the things that we do. And God, bring to our attention the things that honor you and the things that offend you. That our life, Father God, may line up your word and always bring you glory. That we do give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.